What next? I read recently from author Rachel Riemann this quote that stuck with me. An unanswered question is a fine traveling companion. It sharpens your eye for the road. Sending children back to school and blessing them on their way as we are doing here today may remind us in our life of how much everything is changing. Of course, when you're in elementary school and graduating to a new grade, the big question is always, who will be my teacher, right? Some of you families have been awaiting knowing that this week, I know. In our family, we received an email 2 weeks ago that said an email would be coming the following week, that we should look out for it. It would come after 1 p.m. on Wednesday, August 14th, with the class list and all the teachers. Even knowing for certain all of that doesn't alleviate the anxiety, of course. And at about 1:20 p.m. on that afternoon, my husband texted me and said, have you gotten the email yet? Helen is very anxious. I said, let me check. And sure enough, it was there. A teacher shared with me this week, that though she's been going back to school each fall for almost 30 years, it still makes her anxious and worried as she prepares for the first day. When you're headed off to college, that question of what's next is less clear, right? At least you have an answer to that question that every single adult has been asking you for the last 3 years. What are you doing next, right? Some of you may remember those days, and some of you have gotten that question. But there's still so much that is unknown about the adventure that lies ahead. I remember when I was leaving high school, it just felt like this great chasm that I was stepping across, the world of life after high school. What next? That question lingers around the edges of funerals, right? When your loved one has been put to rest and the family has gone home and the house feels all too quiet. It may arise like a lump in your throat the day you come home from the hospital for the first time with a new baby. And you realize that it's up to you now to make sure this precious gift is fed and bathed and goes to sleep and wakes up every single day. It's a lot of pressure, isn't it? What next? That question may come in the form of the feeling of freedom for some of you when you realize you are an empty nester and you don't have to cook dinner or come home at a certain time or make sure you stay up for a teenager's late night. Or in that early stage of retirement that some of you are in, when the possibilities for travel and time with grandchildren just sort of open up on the road ahead of you and almost make you giddy with delight. What next? Sometimes the question of what next sounds more like, how long, oh Lord? Like, what next? What can happen to me next? I've got my hands full here, God. It just comes full throttle at you sometimes when you throw up your hands because that last round of health issues is just too much. Or you've been looking for months now for that job and nothing seems to pan out. Maybe you've been in that place. And sometimes, what next is a question that just wants to know more clearly. What does God want? Where am I headed in this life? What is the right next path for me or my family or my church as we've been discerning together? What next? Over the last few years, many of us have been accustomed to finding where we are and what the next step is this way, right? With just a few short clicks on our phone. Where to? My app asked me. You see that in the left-hand corner there. I love that when I just type it in or speak it and a beautiful map unfolds in front of me with step-by-step instructions. There's something exhilarating about that. We even have lovely voices to guide us, right? A month or so ago, the voice on my Waze app suddenly changed over to that of Cookie Monster from Sesame Street. I don't know how this happened. I really don't know. And I was suspicious of several family members for perhaps, but it was not them. So Cookie Monster would burst into my driving reverie with sort of warnings in that gravelly voice, you know, like, police ahead, C is for careful, and also for cookie. But the GPS system for discerning life's next steps has less to do with step-by-step instructions and maps and voices that make us feel good, and more to do with the voice, right? The one that calls us by name. And the steps that become clear as we listen, as we pray, as we study scripture, as we come together in community for worship, as we serve others, as we find our way in following Jesus. So we got these tags this morning, and I love these. I love the way it just helps us to spread the peace of Jesus, maybe to someone who needs an answer to that question, what next? By the way, on the tags on the back is our name of the church, our church, and the website as well. So maybe people would see that and feel like they may be drawn to the peace that God offers through us here at Trinity. There is something about that picture, right, that reminds us about all those life transitions that come at different stages and ages. From one stage of life to the next, sending kids to school, retirement, bringing a baby home, seeing a child off to college, moving out of the home we've lived in for years, losing a job, finding a new job, starting a new job, those liminal times of life. There's something about those transitions that is holy, and that in those times, somehow finding our way and asking that question about what next rises to the surface and seems all the more important. In the fall of 1993, I had just moved to Chicago from Alabama. And I was back home over Thanksgiving break to visit my family. And my mom said to me, well, we're going to spend the week cleaning out your grandparents' home. My grandmother had just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and was getting progressively worse. And my grandparents needed to have us move them into a more a place where they could be assisted in their living, an assisted living home. Both of my grandparents were teachers. I know some of you have heard me say this before, and they lived frugally, and they saved their money wisely. They also saved everything else, it seemed. School papers from my grandfather's class, not when he taught school, but when he was in school, like third grade or something like that. Touristy trinkets from all these vacations that they had been able to take blessedly together. Family pictures and more. And in our rush to get them moved, within this time frame, the time crunch that we were in, I feel sure we threw away things we would have normally kept, right? Treasures, even, perhaps. But it had to be done, and the answer to what's next, the answer to that question was clear. The move was the next thing. So we have two scriptures today that we heard read from the Bible, and both of them are probably some of the best known scriptures, maybe aside from the 23rd Psalm and all of the Bible. This is the version that we read from the version called The Message. We've been talking about different versions of the Bible in our A Disciple Path class. Will you just read this with me? There's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth. A right time to hold on and another to let go. As we ask that question of what next, wherever you are in your life today, knowing what to hold on to and knowing what to let go of in a spiritual sense, friends, is an act of discernment. We've been talking about discernment in all kinds of different ways, and Wendy offered us one tool for that discernment. But discernment is really seeing the world and seeing our lives as God sees it. Knowing what to hold on to, what to let go of, and what next step God is calling us to. In everyday language, I like to feel that it's a bit like sorting laundry. Every week at our house, the first picture actually should have shown a humongous mountain of laundry covering the whole living room. And at some point, maybe you do this at your house, it gets sort of sorted into five different baskets. And inevitably, every single week as we do this, there are a few socks that get left in a pile with no match. Anybody else have this happen? I've noticed that sometimes the same mismatched sock gets through the laundry over and over and over again. I'm guilty as charged. So I don't know what the match. Let's put it back in the dirty clothes. But when it comes up a few weeks in a row in this pile right here, I know it's time to let it go. And in it goes with the cleaning rags or some other source for another use besides covering somebody's feet in our family. And so as we ask the question, what next, and we discern how to see as God sees, we need to discern when it's time to let go of some things. Maybe it's burdens that we are carrying that we no longer need to. Maybe it's guilt that's weighing us down. Maybe it's shame that prevents us from knowing how much we are loved by that one who calls us beloved. Maybe it's activities or stuff or even people. It's not that we're throwing them out in the trash, but we only have room for so many people in our lives, and we have to discern who we want to stay in touch with, who matters to us, what our priorities are. There are things and situations and activities and burdens that no longer serve us in the way that God intends. And that all needs to be sorted out, especially in those transitions in life when we may be able to see it more clearly. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." I heard a story about two traveling monks who were reaching a town where there was a young woman waiting to step out of her beautiful chair. The rains had made deep puddles, maybe rains kind of like today, and she couldn't quite step across the puddle without spoiling her dress and her silken robes. And she stood there just waiting, looking very cross and impatient, not wanting to take that next step. She was scolding her attendants, and they had nowhere to place the packages that they held for her, so they couldn't help her across the puddle. The younger of the monks noticed the woman and walked away, said nothing. But the older monk quickly picked her up and put her on his back, transported her across that big puddle of water, and put her down on the other side. She didn't thank the older monk. She just shoved him out of the way and departed. And as the two monks continued on their way, the young monk was brooding and he was preoccupied. And after several hours, he wasn't able to hold his silence. And he spoke out and he said to the older monk, that woman back there was selfish and rude, but you picked her up on your back and you carried her. And then she didn't even thank you. And the older monk replied, "I set the woman down hours ago. Why are you still carrying her? Why are you still carrying her?" Friends, discernment about the next steps of our lives, about what's next, always means listening closely for what we need to let go of, what we're carrying that we don't even realize, what we're held captive by, perhaps, so that our hands are open to receive the blessings God has for us. I've been reading a book by Henry Nouwen. We were just talking about Henry Nouwen yesterday in one of our groups, actually, called Discernment. And I love this definition. If this is new to you, I invite you to kind of hold this definition as a way of thinking about what's next and where God is leading you. Our God is a God who cares and heals and guides, directs, challenges, confronts, and corrects. To discern means, first of all, to listen to God. Listen not just with our ears, of course, but with our hearts. To pay attention to God's active presence and to obey God's prompting, direction, leading, and guidance. And how does God prompt, direct, lead, and guide? Through people. Just look around you for a minute. Through people here at Trinity at times. Through a word or phrase in Scripture. Through a song that maybe we carry with us. Through our children. Through someone at work who says a word to us of hope and encouragement. Through someone who says a word of challenge. Seeing the world as God sees it, seeing our lives as God sees us, means paying attention to all of that so we are clear about what's next. Wendy Thorson was just so wonderful to offer this tool of a labyrinth. That's just one of many tools, and we'll be talking more about that over the next few weeks. In your pews, some of you have these beautiful heart-shaped labyrinths. Does anybody have one that you can just hold up? They're sort of scattered throughout. Carol Hug made these a few years ago, and that's a wonderful finger labyrinth. You can use that during worship. We'll keep them out. On the front of your bulletin is another way to pray, to go into that space where you're not quite sure, and to come out of it resting in God's assurance for your life. What is God calling you to let go of today so that you might be ready with an answer to that question of what's next? Steve and I went to Ravinia last night. It was kind of a last-minute thing, and I decided to let go and just to go with it because we had an opportunity to witness Itzhak Perlman on the stage, and it was just a gorgeous, gorgeous thing. If you've been to Ravinia, you know in the pavilion area, the front seats are way right up there. You're practically at the feet of those who are playing, and so we couldn't quite get a good view, and then we were able to move over a little bit and really witness the full-on view. When Itzhak Perlman came out, as you know, he has polio, and so as of late, he has been riding on an electric scooter onto the stage, and so he sort of scooted onto the stage, and then when it was time for him to perform, he took his crutches, and his legs are really, he's not able to walk on them at all, of course. He took his crutches, and he made his way very, very slowly. And you could just sort of, we were all sort of waiting. You know, it took about 5 minutes for him to make his way over to his chair and to take his violin. And you could just sort of see it was palpable when he finally got to his chair, and he gave his crutches to someone who was standing there, and he sat down, and he began to play. It was almost as if he was letting go of all the tension and the strain of getting to that part and letting us witness this beautiful blessing of music that he has offered the world. What do you need to let go of today? What do you need to let go of so that you can have an answer to that question, what next? Is it bitterness? Do you need to forgive? Is it busyness? Do you need to let go of some activities? Is it resentment? Is it shame at not seeing yourself honestly as God's beloved? Is it letting go of the way things used to be? Is it letting go of anxiety about health concerns? Is it letting go of a dream for how you thought things might be? Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May it be so for you, for me, for the next steps of our journey, and for all God's people. Amen.